Here. For the first several minutes of the service, we have our children with us from religious education. And what we'd like to do in forthcoming Sundays is for the children to come up front and talk to the other speakers. This morning, I'd like to thank Sally for Jesus Christ. And in the course of the service, you will see, we'll discuss whether I have any justification for doing so in Unitarian Universalist Society. Let's rise and read our bond of the union. That's on the front page of the songbook. And it's also up here. And then we'll follow that while you're still standing by singing what's it called, doxology or something like that, number 3.
Before all that dwell.
Before all that dwell. Sort of invisible there. We, the members of Prairie, wish to associate ourselves together in a religious community which affirms that we share a common humanity, that we need one another, and that our futures are inescapably bound together. Together we would expand our intellectual horizons, enrich our sensory experiences, and deepen our emotional sensitivities. We would sharpen our ethical awareness and broaden our sense of social responsibility. We would stand tall in our quest for integrity of life, yet not at others' expense. As the prairie stretches out until it becomes one with the sky, let us reach out to touch and be one with the natural world and with one another. Songbook indicates that melody is more than 400 years old, and it's sung in a great many Christian churches today. Probably millions of people are singing that melody this morning. However, the words are Unitarian Universalist words. The words sung in most Christian churches really wouldn't fit here. Does anybody, any of you, remember the old words?
The beginning, praise God from whom all blessings flow.
And the ending?
All creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord. Anyway, I want to sing the quatrain every Sunday during my lay ministry, and so try to learn it by heart. Okay? There is an engaging simplicity in much of the text of the four Gospels in the New Testament. And it's caught in some well-known verses I've asked Mary to read.
I'm listening. Oh, this is Mary. Okay.
Yes.
Which one do you want?
You're coming up later. That's not so simple. This is simple.
Well, what I'm going to read is illustrated by some embroidery that I made 10 years or so ago. And one of them says, consider the lilies of the field, and it shows some lilies and supposedly a prairie. And this other one that says, consider the birds of the air, and actually I think the King James Version says, behold the birds of the air, but I didn't look it up, I just tried to remember. It shows an egret and a broad-winged hawk, so I'll pass these around while I'm reading this. And this is from Matthew 6, starting with verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where things break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then verses 25 to 30, you cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?
It's nice and simple. It seems a bit unrealistic, though. And realists like Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels thought so, too. Where is Marx? Customary sarcasm.
Consider the lilies of the field. Yes, consider the lilies of the field, how they are eaten by goats. Transplanted by man into his buttonhole. How they are crushed beneath the immodest embraces of the dairymaid and the donkey driver. Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin, and thy heavenly Father feedeth them. Go thou and do likewise.
I think that Marx misses the point in a way. It's not that we don't have to work or that we shouldn't want to work, but that we shouldn't care about working. We shouldn't worry about working. We shouldn't let those kinds of cares distract us from more important things in life. Christians have, from time to time, achieved this kind of simplicity in their lives and their communities. In America, the Shakers did in their lives and their communities. The Shakers worked, and they were excellent craftspeople. But they aimed for and they achieved a degree of simplicity, and it comes out in their music. Let's sing number 41, Simple Gifts. And let's sing it like the Shakers did without accompaniment. In fact, in Christian churches, quite frequently, there have been big debates about whether you should have pianos and organs, because some simple Christians felt that these were too pretentious. How many verses are there? Two. Children can leave for their classes downstairs during the second verse. And Eileen will direct.
Let's stand up.
To turn.
Our reading this morning is also from Matthew. Rosemary will read sections from the Sermon on the Mount.
This is from chapter 5, Matthew. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherefore shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither can men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And a little further along. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard it, that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
Question I'm asking you this morning is, can a Unitarian Universalist be a Christian? Some of us, of course, the answer is yes, because some Unitarian Universalists do think they're Christians. But the number is small enough so that, according to Cinda, they got together at the last General Assembly to form a kind of support group of this beleaguered minority, like the support group for Unitarian Universalist pagans or the support group for Unitarian Universalist gays and lesbians, right? They need to support one another. I was somewhat surprised by Cinda's report from the General Assembly and the discussion following her report where Rachel, I think, where's Rachel, expressed surprise at first that any Unitarian Universalist would want to be a Christian or vice versa.
No,
you didn't say that?
No, that isn't what I said. What I wanted to know, and I think you've answered it already, is why would they want to identify themselves as Christian Unitarians? where we have, why not just Unitarians? So that's my question.
Oh, okay.
And you already answered it. They want to have a little support group because there aren't but go ahead.
Well, it still surprised me because when I first started attending Unitarian Church some 45 years ago, I think it was understood by everybody that Unitarians were mostly Christians or thought of themselves mostly as Christians. Maybe that's because I was in the church in Minneapolis, which was very humanist, and maybe we felt like a minority at the time. I don't know if other old-time Unitarians can report the similar feeling that, you know, back then,
Christian church, yes.
What?
So it was definitely, I was raised in a universal church, it was definitely a Christian church.
Well, yeah.
It wasn't a Christian, I mean, they definitely did not believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus was a man or prophet. It was definitely considered themselves Christians.
I grew up in the Madison Unitarian Church. I was in the Sunday school when I was 5 or 6. And my understanding was that Unitarians believed in Jesus as a teacher and a good person, not as somebody mystical.
Well, and we can't deny that Unitarianism came out of Christianity. The only difference was a unity versus Trinity. And also, if I remember my Unitarian history correctly, it was only in the late 19th century that the Unitarians got kicked out of the World Council of Christian Churches, or what was the organization then, because they did not perform dogma. And I also do not see that there's such a tremendous difference, because it's all a matter of interpretation. The basic ethic, the basic communal Christian ethic is our humanistic ethic also. I think the differences are in formalities more than anything else.
Well, anyway, we're going to break up for purposes of discussion, but one more comment.
I'm a little bit confused as to what you have to believe in to be a Christian. I always thought that you had to believe a lot more than that Jesus Christ was a human being and a great teacher. And so it was very definitely had to believe in the this was the Son of God, mystical.
Okay, hold on. Actually, I think though my own experience indicates how rapidly things can change in religious groups. In the course of a generation, I think lots of Unitarians have stopped thinking of themselves as Christians, whereas once a majority did. And I suspect something like that, in a different way, might be going on in many other religious denominations. Anyway, there clearly isn't any right or wrong answer to the question whether a UU can be a Christian. It depends on what you consider to be the really important things characterizing Christians and Unitarian Universalists. And that's what I want us to break up into discussion groups to discuss for a while. And I would sort of like to group like-minded people together. So let me begin with a preliminary poll asking for your answers to the question, your preliminary answers to the question, can a UU be a Christian? I'll ask you to put up your hands for definitely yes, perhaps yes, perhaps no, and definitely no. Okay.
Can a definition of a
Oh no, that's what we're coming to. See, this is preliminary. Okay, can a UU be a Christian? Definitely yes. Could I have your hands? Definitely yes. Can a UU be a Christian? Okay, perhaps yes, perhaps no, definitely no. How many do we have here?
Might as well be a small group.
the next down.
I think we need about 6 groups, and so back there in that corner, let's have definitely yes, about six people, right, six or eight. Probably yes. Over there, probably yes. And that's three? Perhaps yes, yeah, okay, perhaps yes. on the stage, perhaps no, and the strong section of perhaps no, and over here, perhaps no. Okay.
Definitely no.
Well, there's only, I don't want Dick to be in a group by himself. Over there, three? Well, maybe definitely no's can form a group by themselves. Okay. Okay, would you, and I'll give you about 10 or 15 minutes, and I will ask for somebody in each group to take notes and summarize the discussion afterwards.
What are we supposed to talk about?
Can I, you be a Christian?
Are we supposed to have a discussion?
Oh, no, you're perfectly free to change your mind, and I want a kind of justification. What is it about you use and about Christians? What's a Christian? And what is it about Christianity that makes it possible for us to be Christians? What is it about Christianity that makes it difficult or impossible for us to be Christians? Okay. And we're sort of that sort of diagonal half of the room is yes, more or less strongly, and the more strongly you feel yes, more over there in the corner. And this diagonal of the room is no. That was out in the foyer.
Our group generally believes that a Unitarian could be anything. A Unitarian could be a pagan, a Muslim, a Jew, an atheist, a Hindu. That we are open-minded, and in many ways we welcome the fact that people of other religions, whether they're Christian or Hindu, can bring their beliefs into our congregation and help share their views with us. When we look at other religions, it's amazing how they dispute each other's Christianity. For example, the Catholics perhaps may recognize Protestants as Christians, but they're sure all Protestants will be damned. Born-again Christians see Catholics as those who are going to be damned. So within their own groups, they question whether...
Actually, can I interrupt? Because I was going to bring up some of this social survey data at some time during my lay ministry. In fact, survey data shows that most Christians don't believe that it's necessary to be a member of their denomination to be saved. You know, Christian opinion has changed, but go ahead.
All right, then we raise the question of, can a UU be anything like a bigot? And we felt that although we do not share any specific dogmatic religious values in the narrow sense of the word, we do share ethical values essentially in the bond of union, so that we would look askance at a genuine bigot as a person who we would question whether they really, if a Nazi wanted to join us, whether they could be a Unitarian. People have mentioned that there are some Unitarian churches have very, very regular, very typical Christian type services. I mentioned that there was a minister who once said that a member of her congregation came over to her and said, she used to belong to a Unitarian congregation somewhere, and she was the only Christian in the church. They were all atheists, so she was ashamed to admit that she was a Christian because of all the atheists in the group. Then the minister said, another woman said she had belonged to another Unitarian church who was an atheist and was ashamed to admit she was an atheist because all the others were Christians in the Unitarian group. We also felt that the trend in modern liberal Christianity, like Tillich and so on, is to draw away from that dogmatic Christianity so that we in many ways fit into the liberal modern Christian tradition of not putting all that emphasis on the dogmas of Christianity.
Thank you. And now we go to what started off as at the opposite.
We have another
group. Part two.
Let's two.
What?
There were so many of us that we split into two groups. So.
Okay. Well, let me go to the opposite extreme, though, and call on Rachel.
I was hoping we could go last.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, but you'll have to keep it shorter than George, or we'll never get around to each group.
No, and there's some repetition. We felt there was a danger in using someone else's definition of what a Christian was in thinking about the question. We felt that the essence of being a UU was that each person could search for his or her own way, although we questioned whether that we were always allowing an open search. We felt that there was a social ethic from Christ, a humanistic tradition that was part of us, and we felt that being a UU was being, should be, being tolerant of other paths, that there is no right way. And we hoped that we could tolerate Christians in our midst and make this place warm and welcoming for people who didn't believe exactly the same way that we believe.
And they might have convinced them otherwise.
Possible group, and many of the same things, believe that Christians who, if Christians believed in a Christ as a divine savior, but also believed in freedom of religion and right to others' beliefs and humanitarianism, then or humanism, then they could be a part of UU. And many Christians feel that they are ridiculed by UUs and offended that they are ridiculed as such. We brought up the tolerance versus intolerance, that perhaps UU was not as tolerant as purported to be. Many people felt, coming from a variety of Christian backgrounds, that a lot of things that they had learned from their Christian backgrounds were still of value to them, even though they had rejected many of the other things that came with those beliefs. And felt that Christianity could not have survived so long if there weren't many valuable ethical teachings. Some people felt that perhaps UUs were insecure about Christianity taking over, more fundamental groups taking over UU, and we felt that emphasis should be on acceptance of anyone voicing their beliefs, even if they were unpleasant or difficult or different.
Anything from the group in the corner?
Yeah,
I didn't
do it.
Okay. I didn't write very much because it seems to me that our main thrust was that we were wondering about the root of the word Christ, where it came from. It seemed to connote that Jesus was sort of supernatural or something, and we seemed to disagree that maybe all that. We weren't real comfortable with that connotation, although the things that we brought with us from our various Christian backgrounds in the group, not that everyone was Christian in the past, was that it was a lot of the rituals and a lot of the things, the cultural things that we grew up with as children, like Christmas, you know, various things we could celebrate. One thing that I think that we all kind of liked a little was the fact that as a UU, you're exposed to all these other cultural ideas too, and you, one thing that I like is you have more holidays to celebrate. And for our children,
that's a good suggestion, more holiday. Let's see. Okay. Mary Beth?
Okay, we said a lot of the similar things as some of the other groups did. We were a possible group and ended up deciding that Christians could be Unitarians. How can we prevent them? Religion is a creedless religion. You know, people are free to make up their own minds. And we've talked about how the beliefs that Unitarians sometimes don't accept are the cultural values or the political values or social values that other people might have. And that somebody who was a Christian who believed that Christ was God and the Savior of the world and followed those beliefs probably wouldn't want to be a Unitarian. or belong to a Christian church. And I think that another thing we brought up is about teaching children about religions, and that this group, the Unitarian group, may be a little bit more open to teaching children about different kinds of religions and belief systems, and that we thought that was good.
Welcome.
Well, we define ourselves as a strongly, probably no group. I feel as though our views weren't that far from the definitely yes group. we were, I tried to skip the stuff which was the saying. We were concerned that, yes, in fact, a lot of Unitarians are a long way from being Christians, at least according to any traditional definition. And then we got rather worried about the definition of Christianity, because to be a Christian, you seem to have to believe definitely in the lordship of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was divine rather than human, whereas our feeling was that most Unitarians believe that Jesus was human. How this is confusing, because a lot of Christians seem to be moving, at least in the liberal religions, a lot closer to Unitarian views on Jesus. So there are lots of people around who really are sort of culturally Christians, who come from the Christian tradition, and well, if they want to call themselves Christians, I guess we can't force them into our specific definition of what a Christian ought to believe in. And we went to, even though we claim that the Unitarians don't have a creed, we do sort of have a creed, which sets down what we believe, we can't really, we had to look fairly hard for something which conflicted with a full Christian view. And about the only thing we could think of was the little mention down at the bottom about religious pluralism, which enriches and ennobles our faith. However, we did still have a gut feeling that it was a bit strange for somebody who fully believed in Christianity to want to be a Unitarian rather than a member of the traditional Christian church.
Pat?
I guess that our major task was distinguishing ourselves from the splinter group, which we'll be speaking next. The question basically is, if we can decide what a Christian is, then we would be able to arrive at the conclusion, if that's what they want, why not? Therefore, probably not.
Rachel? Rachel has 10 pages of notes, I think.
Appropriately, today I wore black. I would say definitely no if. Most Christians define themselves as believing in the Apostles' Creed, which is the mainline churches. They say it every Sunday. They say it, they believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son.
Born of the Virgin Mary.
Born of the Virgin Mary. They believe in sin. And usually sin is defined as very negative things, and pretty narrowly defined in the Bible. For example, unbaptized babies go straight to hell if they die.
No, they go to limbo. They go to limbo.
Lots of fundamentalist churches preach that every Sunday. Okay. in the highly mystical beliefs in some of the fundamentalist churches, they're not allowed to question. They're supposed to believe literally the Bible. No skepticism is allowed. How do we define ourselves?
Some Christian churches encourage that.
Well, some do. Okay, some do.
So some
a lot of them. Listen to me. Listen to you.
Okay. Listen to the word.
Lately, some Christian groups have been taking several steps backward and becoming more unscientific and more questioning of things that have been proved. And look at the behavior of Christians throughout history have caused a great deal of human suffering in the past. The Inquisition, the Children's Crusade, the Crusades in the Middle Ages, and they're going on today. The Middle East is constantly in a turmoil. Ireland, that keeps going on and on. The photographer Ansel Adams, when asked about his belief in God, he said, "I have my own idea of God. Why should I confine my beliefs on some Middle Eastern cheaper?" In many of the fundamentalist churches, a little social action is taken. And in the past, throughout our history, while the world was being settled, we had great cultural vandalism of cultures by Christian missionaries. And in places where Christians have gotten complete control of the government, there's this distortion toward their own groups and against other groups. And a modern day example of this is what has happened in Utah with the Mormons. They have really skewed the whole government in favor of the Mormons. In our own time, Roe versus Wade is about to be overturned because the fundamentalists, largely fundamentalist beliefs about abortion are getting more and more sway in our government. There's a pervasive sexism of biblical teaching in the fundamentalist churches, the Paul's teaching about women and their role. And many Christian churches to this day discriminate heavily against women in their leadership roles, their ministers, and on down the line. So, that's our case.
Well, I have a question, because many of us divided this two ways. From the viewpoint of the Christian, whether or not he or she felt that they would fit in the Unitarianism, and then secondly, whether or not we would, as Unitarians, would accept them. And I think most of us felt that they were acceptable to us, but our beliefs probably would be incompatible with theirs. But what you were just saying almost sounds like you wouldn't accept them.
Yeah. No, I said if, you know, if we did these things, I mean, or if they were still ascribing to a lot of these beliefs, I don't feel like they'd want to be.
Okay, yeah. That was right. My question.
Well, I think you came to a very similar conclusion than we did.
Yeah,
depends on one's definition.
Sure.
I think your presentation made one thing very clear. Christianity is an enormous concept, and you focused probably out of your own life experience on the fundamentalists, which is a U.S. American type religion, or form of religion, almost a sect. Christianity is so much historically and geographically so much wider than that. When you talk about sexism, you made it sound as if only Christianity had sexism in their religion. What about the enormously widespread world religion of Islam?
Well, we're not considering it and talking about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, you made it so very giant.
That's what it was. I mean, this is what the debate's about.
Do you have points on little churches versus conservative churches?
not in my head right now.
There's another point I think one has to make. Christianity, just like any other religion, is part of history, which is not static. And the fact that we have a fundamentalist backlash right now in this country has a lot to do with politics, much less with Christianity or religion than with politics. And you could take another example. No. What about the liberation theory in theology in Latin America? There are many areas which can only survive because some Christian, and in this case Catholic, priests have taken upon themselves to pursue liberation theology in opposition to the government.
Okay, one more comment.
Would you favor asking this Unitarian Christian support group to leave the Unitarian Church?
Oh, no, of course not.
Oh, you would welcome them.
I would welcome them, but I'm just curious as to how, you know, I'm amazed that they want to, you know, be separate from the Unitarians. But if it's just a support group, you know, because
okay, two more comments, but it's five after.
I was going to point out that is not a new group. That Christian UU group has been going for years.
Oh.
I have a question, and then I believe the original comment was that Christians commented that how they felt discriminated against within the UU congregations. And I guess maybe this is an example of how we could discriminate against people who have those kinds of beliefs. Because when we say Christian, when somebody says Christian, what we bring to that is the meaning we lay on it, not what somebody believes. And so if somebody would define themselves as that, is it incumbent upon us to find out what do they believe?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, what do I mean?
Okay, thank you. And I don't have time to get my own two bits in. let me just refer back to the Sermon on the Mount. That's one of the things I didn't get from this direction. Frequently, liberal Christians place the Sermon on the Mount at the center of Christianity, and I think sometimes they feel that you can just about throw out the rest of the Bible and keep that and be a Christian.
Christianity would probably be a lot better if we had it.
And I don't have time to go into my feelings about that particular ethic, and maybe we'll come back to it. Other things that I wanted to say, I think, have been expressed, so I'll stop. Let me just say to visitors that Prairie Society is kind of, it's a high participation form of Unitarian Universalism. Our services vary a good deal. Sometimes we do have, essentially, lectures, but they're rather unpopular and almost invariably, regardless of the type of structure, people do express their own points of view. We can't, yeah, that's the way things go. I'll turn the program over to Jack, who will take charge, but our practice this fall will be to end up with a song. So after the announcement, we'll sing a Christian song. I'll Fly Away, number 41. After the announcement, yeah.
Not right now, after the announcement. You know, at one time or another in everybody's life, we have sorrows and we have joys. And almost always, we like to be able to share sorrows and joy. So this is your opportunity. If you have something that's been quite joyful or quite sad, now's your opportunity to share it with the rest of us. Tom?
I wanted to make an announcement that I did open my own construction business in commercial contracting, and I did win my first contract last week.
Real?
Michelle Honor is sitting right over here. She's having a birthday this week, so
sometimes that's not always happy.
But consider the alternative.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I'd like to share a joy I've had this week of my parents. Visiting with me.
One word.
And again, this is my mother, Lucille.
Ruth.
About 10 days ago, Barbara and David Carson spent some days with us, and they are from living near Austin, Texas. They're old-time Prairie members, and they regretted very much not being able to come last Sunday to stay on, and they greet everyone here who knew them. And also, last week, George and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary.
Oh, all right.
Lynn.
Alice and I have been visiting our largest state, a little bit north and west of here, and the thing that impressed me most there was the lectures that we had about the civilized way that the United States has been treating the native cultures in Alaska. They have set aside about a third of the state as being permanently the property of the native Alaskans, and have set up several corporations that Native Alaskans can belong to, and they operate businesses and run them as a business. And they're prohibited from selling or giving away their property. They can only pass it on to their children or to some other Native Alaskan when they die.
Look very long.
Well, I'm the joy. Many of you know that I had 2 months of rest, which I really seem to need. And I have a new job. I'm going to be working part-time at the Santa Fe Style Art Gallery on the Coast.
A mixed joy, sir. I'm having surgery for skin cancer on Monday, which I'm thrilled to be getting rid of, but a little nervous about it, too.
Are there any further introductions that you would like to introduce yourself?
I would like to introduce myself again, but I want everyone to perhaps put in the notebooks. I have almost completed moving into what I think is going to be settling down at 904 Spade. If you want to come by and visit me, it would be nice. So 904 Spade is my new address. The phone number is going to be the same as in, I don't know whether it's in the book. The phone number is 255-7039,
which I think. Was that in the Prairie Fire Ditch? Good. All right, shall we go on to announcements? And make them brief and to the point. Peg.
I will do this each week. I would like to encourage people to attend Up in Woods, and in order to encourage you, I'd like to sort of feature each week a couple of the things that we're going to be doing so that you can have something to look forward to. We will be having a talent show. You can be brushing up your talents. We've done that every year for quite a while and have a great deal of fun. We'll also have an instrumental workshop led by Mike Briggs, so you can be getting some instrument out of the basement or out of your closet. And even if you haven't practiced in a long time, come along and participate in that. And then the third thing I wanted to mention is that the whole reason that the Wisconsin Dells built up as a recreation area, which today includes all kinds of things like water slides and family land, was that the dells themselves along the river are very beautiful. And you will have the chance then to canoe and really appreciate that setting that was the reason for all that settlement in the Dells area.
And if then, I have my registration form today, can I give it to somebody?
Mike's not here.
I'll just mail it to Mike.
I can take, I'll take them and get them to Mike. That would be fine. We encourage people to get registered. And again, if there's special things that you want to be sure happen there, let me know. And if there's things that you're willing to offer, let me know.
Yes, October 2nd. Yeah. The October 2nd deadline is iffy because it was so iffy to begin with.
We encourage people to register by October.
Oh, yeah.
if there's some change of circumstances, let us know.
But I also know that it's so close that some people procrastinate. And so please, get the registration form then, Dick.
And in that same vein, I have a number of back issues of Prairie Fire here today. Each of the last two issues has contained a registration form.
Right.
And so you don't have to put it off till you get home. Right here.
Rachel?
I just want to say that Sunrise School has made it, and Oxford School has made it good. Transition. There have been a few little things we had to iron out. I want to encourage you all to refer to Sunrise School as Sunrise School or Sunrise Daycare, not they or them. Problems come to me first. Oh, one other thing. The refrigerator suddenly decided it would not work this week. The door handle is broken, and it's such an old one that I don't think it's worth putting any money into it. If anyone has a good used refrigerator they'd like to donate, would that be for downstairs, it'll be most welcome.
Do we have volunteers to clean up in the kitchen afterwards?
And one, and then two. And I believe the committee meeting right after, where's Jean? There she is. Right after the housing and grounds meet, right after services. All right. That brings up the reminder that there is a board meeting tomorrow night.
And no, week 25th.
I mean, a week from, that's right. Oh, God, that's good. A week from tomorrow night. So get your budget in.
First of all, why should I ask the coffee first, Kevin?
Next week, after the service up here, there'll be a parent-teacher coffee for grades kindergarten, first, and second. Anyone who has children in the RE program in those grades, you're invited to come downstairs, meet the teachers, meet the other parents. This will give us a chance to talk about philosophy or you to find out more what is involved in the actual curriculum. Just a chance to get together with regarding your kids in the RE program.
Mm-hmm. They're really all invited to that.
Supervision for the kids outside.
Yes.
And then following that, there will be a religious education meeting on Sunday rather than tomorrow night.
Yes, as many of you know, but some of you may not, this is the time of year we start organizing the circle dinners, which are a very integral part of our social life here at Prairie, and something that's been going on for many, many years. And for anybody who doesn't know, what we do is we ask people to sign up as to how many people would be in their party, you know, whether it's a couple or a family, and how big of a group they would like to be in. The groups range anywhere from, well, I think 6 is probably low, but 8 to 12 people if you wanted. That 12 would be considered a real big group. And then also whether or not they want to have children in the group, and whether or not they want to have, whether or not it's okay to have, you know, wine or other alcohol in the group, you know, that kind of stuff. And then we have someone who volunteers, and at this point we may have someone, but I'm not sure, who kind of puts people together, and the aim is to kind of mix people up from year to year and help you get to know other people in the group. And for newcomers, this is an excellent, excellent way to get to know some people. And if you revolve from house to house, month to month, and every month you bring a different part of the meal, and it's not totally potluck. I mean, it's, you know, you're assigned a portion of the meal, but we start organizing them about this time. So I think next week we'll start sending some things around, clipboards, so people can sign up. So be thinking about that.
All along that same line, there we would like very much anybody who'd like to serve on any committee in one capacity or another in an excellent way of finding out what's going on and having some effect on what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to announce, this was announced last week and also in the Prairie Fire, that Covenant of New York Pagans is having a Harvest Home Fall Equinox celebration next Friday evening at the Society in the living room there. And everybody's welcome. It will be a potluck meal and people are going to be sharing some songs that they know. And it's kind of a family celebration if you want. A lot of people bringing their children. So anybody who is interested in knowing what it is or has questions or considers themselves pagan in the sense of believing in the imminence of humanity rather than the transcendence as well.
You can be a pagan.
I think if you define pagan as atheist, you probably get quite a few. I think if you define pagan as atheist, you probably have people come. Pat?
Just real quickly, I'd like to ask several people if they would consider taking over the responsibility of taking these services. I understand there's been one person who's tentatively offered. This is not a substitute job. I would suggest having two people. I mean, this is not a substitute for when I can't make it. I mean, I would like to be relieved of that possibility. And I strongly suggest having two people assume this job. Then no one will feel quite so locked in. So if anybody would be willing to help out of this, please let me know. It isn't that onerous. Just after a while, it gets to be too much of a burden. So call me or see me afterwards. I appreciate it.
And Pat, I think you've been very helpful. You've been on that quite a while. Thank you.
I just want to welcome any new people that are here today for the first time. Please come again and take a moment to sign in on the guest list.
Good. Now, here we go.
If there are any pears left, please take some as you leave.
What was the last song?
Number 41, I'll Fly Away.
Number 41.
37? Thank you. Number 37.
37. And if you all stand, please. Good
number. What number 41?
I don't know.
Less than the typical guest I have.
Coming.